Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 43. The Reverend Craig Mueller is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading appointed for this morning is from Luke chapter 18. And taking the 12, he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked, and shamefully treated, and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the word of the Lord. Well, today is the day we begin to turn our eyes to Jerusalem, as we know that Lent and Ash Wednesday, literally tomorrow, is just around the corner. Some call it Fat Tuesday or Shrove Tuesday, sort of a day to let it all go and party, celebrate, because we know what's at the around the corner with the Lenten journey. As we look at our work calendars and family calendars, sometimes it just seems like another day, another routine. Is anything really going to change? Nothing's really focused on Lent in my personal life or my professional life, really. Oh, sure, we talk about burying the Alleluias in this past Sunday or today, really trying to gain some spiritual momentum for the 40 days of Lent. Yet life goes on. It's so easy to focus on our own spiritual journeys of life, but then sometimes someone throws a grenade into the mix and we get shocked into reality that we live in a sin-sick world and we're not journeying alone. Our sinful nature can turn almost anything into selfish good works. Sometimes we look forward to the Lenten journey. It's a great time to show our pietism, maybe lose a little weight, give up something that I love for Lent to show my neighbors, getting ashes on my forehead and proudly walking around the rest of the day with the ashes on my head to show how pious and repentant I am. Yes, I'm on my Lenten journey and went to church and got my ashes. Of course, all those things really are meet, right, and salutary. To sacrifice, to give something to up to fast, to repent, and focus on self-denial as long as it isn't turned into good works. But that old sinful nature, what a beast. Well, Jesus in our text today has an interesting dialogue with his disciples. This is the third time that he is pretty clear to them that while their journey for 3 years in his public ministry has taken them to some very interesting events, they have seen many miraculous things. They have seen people's lives changed as Jesus healed the lame, healed the sick, raised the dead, and showed mercy on many, many people, as Jesus showed that he is the great physician of both body and soul. And so Jesus begins by announcing to them that it is time to go to Jerusalem, that great city. He says, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and there will be accomplished all the things that have been written through the prophets about the Son of Man." Wow, perhaps there was a little bit of excitement from the disciples at the first announcement by Jesus. They get to go to Jerusalem, and we'll see the prophecies fulfilled and accomplished. However, Jesus quickly throws a wrench into the celebrative thoughts and that they may have had about this journey to Jerusalem, and he continues, "For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, he will be mocked, and he will be mistreated, and he will be spit on, and after scourging him, they will kill him. Now that's a spoiler alert. Jesus comes out and says plainly that this final leg of his journey, it is a journey with his face to Jerusalem to finish that which he was sent to do, to live, suffer, die for the sins of the world. The Son of Man, this Jesus, who is speaking to his disciples, is summing up what is necessary for him as the Son of Man and Son of God to do to pay for the sins of the world, your sins and mine, as well as those disciples. He must be delivered to the Gentiles. He must be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. He must be flogged and killed, all to pay the debt we deserve because of our sinful pride, our spiritual blindness and rebellion. He must go to Jerusalem to die on that cross for all humanity. Otherwise, all is lost, and we and all the world are left in our sins and lost and condemned to eternal hell. Then we see Jesus, the Son of Man and Son of God, on his journey of love, on his way to the city of the cross. Jesus, who did not stray or deviate on his way to the cross, will never leave us nor forsake us on our journey. Yes, he must suffer and die for the sins of the world to redeem us lost and condemned creatures. Yet Jesus, in our text, adds those beautiful words, almost as an afterthought in the whole sentence. On the third day, he will rise. So altogether, that's the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus must live, suffer, die, and rise again to save us from our sins. One would think that this journey would have taken on a whole different meaning for the disciples and for us. Yet our text reminds us, they did not understand any of these things, and this word was hidden from them, and they did not know the things that were spoken. Oh, the blindness of unbelief. We all know people in our own lives, close family members or friends, who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the clear message that we are saved by the grace of God for Christ's sake, yet they are spiritually blind to what this means. It is hidden from them. We pray that the Holy Spirit would open their eyes to the truth of God's word, that they too may believe and be saved. My friends, it's easy for us to comment or judge on the disciples' possible ignorance, since this is the third time that Jesus spoke plainly of what was necessary for salvation, and they still didn't get it. But in the end, they do. Jesus, in his mercy, after the resurrection, opens their eyes. He gives them the eyes of faith that this Jesus has completed the journey of the prophet, who after suffering is vindicated by God by his resurrection. Therefore, in this passion and resurrection prediction, it is hidden temporarily, but God in his mercy opens their eyes, and they see through the eyes of faith what was accomplished on this journey of sacrificial love to save them and to save the world. We, like the disciples, when confronted by our sinfulness and know we are but blind beggars who need a Savior, we sit by the side of the road and cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Lord, open our eyes. Give us faith to believe that you are the Savior, the Son of Man and Son of God, who has redeemed us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Faith that clings to you for our life and salvation. And my friends, just as Jesus heard and answered the call of the beggar in our text, God has answered our cry for mercy. Jesus has completed his journey to Jerusalem and has fulfilled the promise of our text. He has given us his gifts of word and sacraments, whereby he gives and strengthens our faith, and we are able to follow him, glorifying God and giving all praise to him. So as we now begin our personal spiritual journey of Lent tomorrow, we ask God to give us the eyes of faith that look only to Jesus for our life and salvation, not toward ourselves or anyone else. A theologian once wrote, Lent that prepares for life for self-denial after Easter requires that we follow Christ with seeing eyes. We beggars by the wayside cry as we enter Lent. We say, let me receive my sight. Let me see your great love. Help me to see the enormity of the love that compelled you to bear your cross for me. Teach me to love you more and more so that I am willing to bear my cross after you. With seeing eyes, we follow Jesus to Jerusalem, glorifying God by a life of self-denial, living no longer for ourselves, but for Him who suffered, died, and rose again to grant us life and salvation. To Him be the glory forever. Amen.